You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball.
Welcome to this edition of the Ute Talk podcast. As always, I'm Grant Bagby.
And I'm Joseph Silverzweig. How's everybody doing today? It is the day before game day. I mean, we're right there, so it's very exciting.
It's football eve is what it is.
It really is.
So everyone's excited. So the answer to your question is everyone's good.
I know.
Right?
I mean,
the depth chart just came out. Everyone knows the answer to the quarterback race. Everyone knows we might need to talk about this, but the defensive end, the number two spot, who's on the opposite side of Bradley and I has been answered.
We'll touch on
that. So that, you know, now it's time to watch them play. But before we get into that, just, you know, as has is our weekly ritual, throw you daddy some love. Step five is out.
Yeah, it's
so
exciting time.
Time to reseed and do some other stuff in the process. I'll be doing that here in the next week, as he recommends doing it. So, because I want my yard to be freaking amazing. So quick hitters. Let's give the people a little knowledge. So we're doing quick hitters today. Talk about the title. Talk about how the Utes are national title winners now in football. Got some recruiting news to discuss. And then we'll get in. We've got an interview with Brett Hine that we'll be doing here for you. We all know we haven't been, following Weber State drastically to know what's going on there outside of the fact that we know the coaching staff is practically all Utah people.
Yeah.
But
cozy.
We're going to give you guys a little bit more knowledge about Weber State. Even though I'll let you know my score and prediction at the end is not going to be a small margin. So that's how much I think about the Wildcats. But let's get into it. So the NCAA released their record books. And
the first topic of conversation was, oh, hey, they gave UCF a national championship because there's some quote unquote major selector that a computer system picked UCF as the number one team.
Should we tell people what major selectors are?
Yeah, I guess.
Do you know?
It's just people who they think are important enough that their opinion matters.
Yeah, that's for the most part, yeah.
I don't know why I'm not a major selector. And the Utes would be five.
Or our podcast is a major selector.
Yeah, that's right. That should be right.
We'd at least have two national titles, both BCS years, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In 2004, it's harder to tell because
talent was so national long. Title.
But sure, national title. 2000.
Look, if BYU is going to go claim two additional national titles,
I'm
feeling comfortable.
Oh my gosh. If you're looking for a good time, just get on Twitter. I haven't even got on. Like, Cougar board must be like on fire right now. But
so
they're
much
just,
fun.
They're a little. They're. I think the technical medical term for this psychological condition is butthurt. They are butthurt that the Utes suddenly have a national championship because that's all they had was their 40-year-old title.
All they had was 1984.
Yep. And
Twitter's been amazing, guys.
It really has been fun. So the Utes are national champions. I'm happy about it. I think it's good. I think that they're probably handling it the right way. You don't want to throw a ticker tape parade, but you acknowledge it and you say, yes, that was a very good year indeed. And over the course of years, that's just going to be it. It was going to be a split national title and the Utes had an incredible season and people are going to start to see it that way in the next couple of decades.
I'm intrigued to see what the program does. I mean, yeah, of course they're going to talk.
I wouldn't make a big deal out of it, but I when nobody was looking, I would pull down the Sugar Bowl banner
and put it up below.
And just have the little, like a little asterisk.
No asterisk.
No, but
you
like
do, you have your Sugar Bowl. Yeah, you have your Sugar Bowl banner and just at the bottom a nice bold font.
Right. It says national champion. NCAA national champion.
Yeah. Yeah.
100% sure. But you don't.
So you don't want like, a parade?
No, I don't even want like homecoming for them to raise the banner. I just want them to put it up. And then in a few years, you've got a kid coming for his visit, and he looks up at the banners and he goes, "Oh, I didn't know they won a championship." And he looks up the season, like, "Wow, they beat Bama by all those points. That's amazing. That was when Nick Saban was coaching." And before you know it, it'll just be part of Utah history. But the trick is not to make a big deal out of it. Because and I think Whittingham's approach is about right, although I do think they should quietly swap the banner out for one that highlights the the change. I do.
No, it's fun nonetheless. Well, here's the good news. The other good news for Utah sports fans is looking at what's coming up for Utah sports. The number one event is football.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Weber State, 6 p.m. Just to give my other sports some love, because we like to do that, is volleyball's got some matches on the 31st, got a couple doubleheader, and then soccer on the 31st as well is in Kansas playing number 19 Kansas. So that's looks like a pretty big matchup. Non-soccer expert here, but you know, cross country's getting in the mix of things. And September 7th,
big time rivalry.
Rivalry matchup. First rivalry matchup since football season started. Soccer in Salt Lake City. So get your rivalry banter going. That's pretty much the schedule. Moving on, it looks like there's some more good...
Nice commitment. Another titanic human being, although this one a little...
Have you been admiring his biceps yet?
I haven't actually looked at him. I've watched his film, but I haven't seen more than just a picture of his head. And he's not... He is not a fully developed guy yet. I mean, he's a three-star recruit. He's 6'8", I think 245, but he still looks like a kid, just an enormous kid. And I think the universal expectation is that over the next couple of years, he's going to get into the low threes and be an offensive tackle prospect. He plays defensive end and tight end right now. He's on special teams. He's really fast. I can foresee him as a tackle being able to get downfield, and maybe pull block and things
so is
like
there,
that really well.
Is there some kind of inside story that you're alluding to this offensive line thing? Because based on what you're telling me, I would slot him right into the defensive line.
Everybody just sees him at offensive tackle, and that's where the coaches see him. And I think it's a question of development. When you get a look at the kid, and you can see that he still looks like a teenager. You know, he hasn't filled out in the chest and shoulders quite all the way yet, and he's obviously got a very big frame, but he's going to be too big to be a defensive end. I think he's going to be in the 300s and just too big to do anything but offensive tackle or maybe guard. Although if he's actually 6'8", he's just a tackle through and through. And he's got a great name. He's Falcon Kaumatule, which is just fun to say. I mean, if you're going to be named something, be named Falcon, right?
Are you renaming your son?
No, well, I'm having a son.
Are you going to name him Falcon?
We've got a few choices, but I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell my wife, I think it's Falcon. I think we're going to name him Falcon.
Or, hey, you know, go with another bird of prey. How about Eagle?
Eagle, yes.
Eagle. Silver Swing.
Oh, man. Like, if I felt like there was a chance he was going to be 6'8", I might think about it. But
unfortunately, there
is. You guys can't see me.
No, they saw a picture last week.
Yeah, but I'm just a little Jewish guy, and my sons are not going to be offensive tackles, and that's okay.
Let's just put it this way: you're not planning on them getting scholarships to college based on athletic prowess.
No, they'll get scholarships other ways, one hopes. but it's not going to be that way, that's for sure. Unless they're like a shortstop or something. But yeah, it's been a good week, a lot of good news. But really, everybody wants to talk about Weber State, and
football game, actual football game.
And it turns out that we don't know a whole lot about Weber State. I've been reading up on them and doing some research for my article for Rivals, which I'd recommend you go read. But
well, we went and got a local expert to listen to. And so let's get to our hot interview for today.
All right. We have here with us today Brett Hine, the sports editor of the Standard Examiner. He does a ton of coverage on a lot of teams, but especially the Wildcats. So I wanted to take some time and talk with him about Weber State. How are you doing today, Brett?
Good. It's a good day. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's exciting to finally have football here. It's maybe been the longest off season in a while. I imagine it feels like that for Wildcats fans with such a good season in the books.
Yeah, people are anxious to see what they've got. I don't know if there's, I mean, maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, they had a pretty good football team, but I don't know if the anticipation has been this high in a while. So, yeah, it's people, I mean, just like everyone else, everyone just wants to see the ball kicked off and see some football.
I know, and then you keep talking about it, and eventually you say, all right, let's just stop talking about it and play some ball. That's what it's about. So I've been flipping through your roster, reading some of your writing. It seems like I know you guys are replacing the quarterback, but you've actually got quite a bit of experience on the team. Is that fair to say that other than the quarterback position, it's pretty reloaded?
Basically, other than the quarterback and receiver position, pretty much everything else is returning experience. So, quarterback, they don't have anybody who's taken a Division I. Well, I guess that's not true. The third stringer, Braden Miles, took some snaps last year. But as far as their top two guys, they haven't taken Division I snaps. They have Rashid Shaheed, a receiver, who's one of the best return guys in the country. And then other than him, they've got some you know, sparse experience, good talent, sparse experience. Uh-huh. Everything else, offensive line has a ton of experience in the entire defense, especially the front seven.
Great. Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about Shaheed. I think that's a name that a lot of fans are gonna want to know. I know he's an NFL caliber prospect. Is that fair to say? He's got a ton of speed, good measurables. One of the best receivers in the FCS, certainly, or mostly return man last year, but this year is expected to kind of break out at receiver. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, he was a great receiver last year too. Uh-huh. They just had enough weapons that they didn't, you know, he didn't get the ball 10 times, anything right. like that. But every time he touched the ball, it was a big play. Last year at receiver, I mean, we're talking like 40, 50, 60, 70-yard pass plays on top of his, you know, long kickoff returns. He returned 2 kickoffs for touchdowns last year. So he's definitely a big weapon, and they'll probably, you know, where he's going into his sophomore season, they'll probably find ways to try and get him the ball even more often than they did last year.
All right, yeah, and you've got some other stars here. You got a couple of looks like really good linebackers and an offensive tackle you flipped over from the defensive side last year. He certainly looks like a ball player. That's a big fella that you got up there on that side taking care of your quarterback. Who's a name that you think Weber State fans are going to know by the end of the year that maybe isn't as out there and that Ute fans can watch to see what they can do?
Who isn't out there yet? Or
well, I mean, it could be somebody that you know pretty well and that Weber State fans know, but it would kind of who's the name that they should look for, that you fans should look for when they're kind of trying to get a sense of what makes this team special?
Okay. I would say look at probably the linebackers and maybe their weak side. Well, both their ends, really.
Uh-huh.
Their front seven is going to be really good.
That's exciting.
But especially middle linebacker LeGrand Toia.
Uh-huh.
He's just everything you want out of a middle linebacker. He finds the ball and he hits people hard. So those guys, you know, Jonah Williams, the strong defensive inside.
Okay.
Is a big dude. He's a junior. And he's just a big time disruptor. And then kind of on the speed side, on the weak side, Adam Rodriguez from is a Utah kid, and Landon Stice is the weak side linebacker. Both those guys are, you know, what you'd expect from positions like that. Quick, find the ball, use their speed to make plays. So I would say, for people who don't know anything about Weber State, really, aside from Rashid Shaheed, I would look at kind of some of those guys up front and see what those guys do.
All right, I appreciate that. So tell me about this quarterback. I know there was a quarterback battle all through fall camp, and then they wound up going with they named the starter. This was now just 2 or 3 days ago, really recently. So tell me about him. True freshman guy, been on the roster a while. What kind of guy is he? A mobile guy or more of a pocket passer? What should you fans expect?
Yeah. So they went mostly through camp with a two-guy race. The third guy who was in there got hurt and kind of took him out of the race. But so they named the starter Caden Jenks. He's a redshirt freshman from Washington. Kind of an interesting guy. His last two seasons of high school ball, he did the game. And I don't know what classification his high school is playing at, but they won two straight state titles without losing a game.
That's good at any classification, huh?
Right. came in, was kind of touted as a big arm quarterback, and he's shown some flashes of being able to connect on the big plays, but he's athletic too. He can move around and probably use that to his advantage a little bit. But yeah, he redshirted last year, so he hasn't taken a single snap yet. So,
but he's experienced. Then he's been practicing in the offense and knows the terminology and things like that. He's not totally wet behind the ears. He's just it's just his first live football.
Yeah, I mean, he did have the benefit of redshirting for a year, but okay. You know, the offense is new for everybody. With Dave Schramm taking over as offensive coordinator, that'll be kind of one of the key things to watch. Is I think that their offense has talent. I think they'll be good, especially in the Big Sky. Just with this first game, new offense, new play caller, new quarterback. I'm not sure if it'll quite come together for them, but I think they'll be fine in the long run, at least.
Yeah, you're really getting tossed into the two against what promises to be a pretty intimidating Utes defense this year. Moving to the Big Sky. I mean, do you think that they're poised to repeat kind of their strong run and maybe a playoff run this year? Or do you think some of the changeover at quarterback and offensive coordinator is going to be too much for them? It sounds like the defense is going to continue to be a linchpin of the team.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't make the playoffs, it would be pretty disappointing, I think. As long as they get something from the quarterback position that's, you know, slightly better than, you know, neutral, I guess you could say, which I think they can get with the guys they've got, then I think they've got the talent everywhere else. And like you said, the defense, especially if they stay healthy, they've got a ton of experience and a ton of playmakers. And
the first string coming off the bus is an impressive looking group of guys, especially on that defensive side. Those are big strong kids. Is it all Utah players? I mean, does Weber State mostly recruit locally, or are there other states that they go to? Where do they get their talent from? Because I know Utah high school football has been headed in the right direction for a while now. There's a lot of talent out there if you know where to look. Just locally, have they done anything to change the talent pool that's led to some of their improvement, or is it mostly just Coach Hill finding the right guys and coaching them up the right way?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know if I can confidently say what their recruiting was like, you know, prior to Jay Hill, as far as areas that they targeted.
Uh-huh.
But it's pretty typical of any of the schools here in Utah, really. They try and get some of the top guys that they, you know, they think they can get in the state, and then, you know, go to when Weber State's case, they go to California and Washington and Idaho mostly, and maybe a little bit of Arizona. But mostly, it's mostly Utah, Washington, or California and Idaho. So, yeah, I mean, you talked about, I think you're, you know, maybe mentioning one of the features I wrote about some of the seniors, their linebackers. And so LeGrand Toye is from Riverton. Then Iasuo Opeta, the offensive lineman, and Landon Stice, they both went to, they both played at Stansbury Park together.
Okay.
Or at Stansbury High School. So, I mean, they do have a bunch of local kids. But, you know, and then in the backfield, they've got Parker Prater and Jordan Prater from up in our part, up here in Plain City.
No, so I know that name.
Some Fremont High guys. But, yes, Rashid Shaheed, for example, he's a California kid. So I think that's mostly what it's, you know, not too different from a lot of other schools around here.
All right. Well, I'll let you go here in a minute, Brett. But is there anything else that you want to talk about? Anything that you feel like fans should know about this team, or that's interesting for fans to know, and just kind of share your, you know, you've been covering them so long, you probably know them better than almost anybody. So I'd just love to hear what you think.
I mean, the game itself is pretty interesting. You know, it's already, you know, it's been written about and talked about elsewhere, but I mean, the number of guys on Weber State staff that, you know, have a pretty strong connections to the University of Utah is quite high. you know, obviously Jay Hill, he played there for 2 years and was on the staff or coached for another 13. But then, you know, Dave Schramm, Brent Myers, you know, Quinton Ganther has been Jay Hill's running backs coach for his whole time here. And, you know, that's a guy that Utah fans, I'm sure, remember.
Yeah. He was mentioned a few times in the early going when they were looking for a new running backs coach. They wound up with, like, his name escapes me, but he was the running backs coach at Eastern Washington, so he's kind of a Troy Taylor guy, but Quinton Ganther was talked about as a potential running back coach for the Utes, so certainly a strong connection there as well as the play type.
Yeah, I heard there might have been some interest in him from BYU as well, because they were looking for a bunch of new offensive assistants.
Jay Hill has put together
all those guys,
quality staff,
a ton of guys that have those Utah connections for sure. That makes it a little, I mean, I don't know if there's anything that Jay Hill or Dave Schramm, what those two do that Kyle Whittingham wouldn't know. Obviously, I think the offense is going to try and have some different wrinkles and things, but some coaches that are pretty familiar with each other for sure.
Yeah, I heard it compared to a Thanksgiving afternoon game in the backyard between some very competitive brothers. So it should be a lot of fun, and I'm hoping for a fun game. I mean, certainly Ute fans with some of the talent disparities are hoping for a pretty big win. But this is a good Weber State team, and these good FCS teams are not to be slept on, especially early in the season. Do you want to leave us with a score prediction?
I don't know if I'll put numbers out there.
That's okay. I mean, it's tough.
I don't think it's surprising. You know, I don't think it's totally inconceivable that Weber State could be competitive in this game. But I think in the end, you know, Utah should probably win by a couple scores. And I don't think that's a shock to anybody. Just, you know, it sounds like everyone around Utah's program feels like they've got a really good team this year. So if we're talking about, you know, someone who's going to play in the Pac-12 title game, you know, that's a pretty good caliber team if those are the expectations. So, I kind of wrapping it all up, I think that their offense might just be a little too green with everything that's going on to be competitive enough. But I think you'll see a well-coached team and a lot of fight out of Weber State, and likely Utah's talent will win the day, but I mean, that's kind of the expectation, I think.
Well, great, Brett. Thanks so much for all of that insight. I really appreciate you taking 15 minutes to come talk to us and talk to our listeners a little bit. Good, really good luck to you to Weber State for the rest of the season. I hope that you've got a lot of happy things to write about for weeks to come here.
Yeah, I think so. I think it should be a good season to cover. Some exciting things going on up here. So yeah, I appreciate you having me on. It's been
absolutely
good.
Thanks, Brett. You have a good day.
You too.
That was Brett Hine, the sports editor of the Standard Examiner. He was nice enough to come out and chat with us there for 15 minutes, get to know a little bit more about Weber State. So, Grant, what do you think? Couple scores, he said. Pull away late.
I think that's a little optimistic.
A little optimistic.
I mean, the thing is I just don't think with the leadership and experience on the youth, they're going to be drastically overlooking Weber State. And then come to mention, like Witz mentioned it multiple times in his interviews, that someone always loses to an FCS opponent, so you can't be sleeping on them. And I don't think he's going to allow the youth to sleep on them. Look, this is not a coach that loses opening games.
Yeah, it's actually fairly frequent. I pulled up. So this is just playoff teams in the last 4 years. This is FCS mm-hmm. teams who would go on to make the playoffs, which the Wildcats, as Brett said, will be disappointed in anything less than a playoff run here. They win 31% of their games against FBS opponents over the last 3 years. So it genuinely, you shouldn't be sleeping on them. But when you start to break that down into, well, who are they beating? Who aren't they beating? They'll occasionally beat a team that turns out to be a top 25 team or bring it really close. They lose when the opposing team is good, and they win when the opposing team has flaws that will continue to be exposed down the line. The one big takeaway for me for the analysis that I did is not that the Utes will win or lose, because I'm going to predict the Utes are going to win here in a minute when we do scores, but that you can't draw too much in the way of conclusions on scoring margins. So you'll see fans really get caught up at the end of an FCS game. Oh, we only won by 21, or hey, we won by 50, so that means that we're really good. But whereas your usual game between two FBS opponents has a relatively low deviation in terms of score, you're going to get within 7 to 14 points for each team of where you would expect them to get mathematically. With an FCS team versus an FBS team, there's a huge spread where each team is more or less plus or minus 21. So the same team is about as likely to score 7 as to score 50. And what that means in effect is that even if it's not a great showing, it doesn't really tell you much. Just wait for the next games against more opponents that we're more certain about. Or if it's a great game and they win by 70, wait for other games to decide what you think about the Utes, because there's a lot of reasons for that. But I think the big one is that it's so matchup dependent. I mean, with Weber State, you've got a kid like Rashid Shaheed, and he's a true dynamic wide receiver talent on a solid FBS level. He could play in the NFL. I mean, he's a really good player, and he might take the top off the Utes defense and make his safety look silly once or twice. And that's 14 points. But it doesn't necessarily tell you a ton about the matchup. I'm not predicting 14 points for them, but what I'm saying is just that there's a lot of deviation and a lot of uncertainty, and not to put too much stake in the final score of the game.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll say it. I know the players and coaches aren't. I'm overlooking Weber State.
Oh, I am too. I don't mean to be too nice.
Look, they should be good. I hope they make the playoffs. I hope they make a freaking amazing run in the FCS level. If I were them personally, like, isn't there a part of it, like, this game is a warm-up game for them too?
I think that's the way to go.
They've got a new offense
and a brand new freshman quarterback.
Yep.
Say, you know what? This is a great game to get our tails kicked in. We're going to have a ton of good film. We're not going to see anybody the rest of the season who's as talented as these players, except in one or two positions. And that's a good thing, because they'll be able to test themselves against the best defense they'll face and learn the most important lessons. That's unless the defensive line is totally dominant and just all over them the whole game, and they don't get a chance to play. But I think with they've got some good senior leadership at tackle and some good linemen, I think that they'll be able to run their offense and play their game. And they'll still get beat, and they'll get beat most plays. But I agree. I think it's sort of a nice throwaway game for them, too, because it doesn't matter how much they lose by. Nobody's paying attention. If they get to the end of the season and they're 9-1 against Big Sky teams or however many games they play, no one's going to care that they lost by 55 to Utah. They're just going to say, hey, that was a good, you know, that was a great season for the Wildcats.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, then. What's your score prediction? Since we both are predicting wins, like, are you going to predict, like, a margin of victory, or are you going to put a score
on it? I always put a score on it. So I rolled out my big offseason project was this thing I call the win curve, and you can see it on Twitter just before the game. You can see it now if you go to Rivals. And it's essentially showing my work about how I predict these scores, and all the math comes out. And this particular win curve is way over to the right. It looks kind of like a tidal wave rather than a bell. And that's because there's just no way Utah loses this game. That's just a done deal already. And I have them winning 42-10. I think is where I've got that. So it's a nice solid 32-point win, not 70 points, but more than enough where Huntley is sitting on the bench in the third quarter, and that's what we want to see.
I think about the same way, right? I'm going to give the Wildcats a little bit more and say that they score 13 instead of 10, give them another field goal. But otherwise, I agree, you know, 42-13. It's going to be pretty
Grant sizable. Hates the Utes defense. He thinks they're terrible. You heard it here first.
Look, I think honestly, this is what I think is going to happen. I think there's going to be, you know, at least one drive where the, you know, Weber State gets a stop, and because of Matt Gay, we say, sure, let's kick the 60-yard field goal, and maybe he misses, right? And then they get a really good short field, and they kick a field goal, and that's what I think is going to happen. Because I think, look, if we're going to try to get Matt Gay like the long kick record in NCAA history or whatever,
this is the game to try to go for it.
And second and four
from our own 40. You're like, you know what? Let's just do it.
There's 30 seconds left. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just what I'm saying is I think that there will be that situation where it's like, look, we'll be fine, whatever. Go ahead, Matt. Go for the long kick. But those kicks are so long. You put it in game time. You're worried about how high their D line might jump and tip that ball because that's a much lower trajectory. Just things like that.
I can't believe how high he gets his trajectories on those long kicks. He really gets it up in the air. He's amazing. But anyway,
either way,
I hear what you're saying.
That's why I'm going to give him another field goal. And then you have stoppage time, which is, you know, the whole fourth quarter when we've got our fourth string.
It better be. I think if, you know, again, just you can't take too much from it. But you'd really expect this team to be rolling out the second or third string by the end.
Oh, I expect second string in the first half.
Yeah, that'd be great. That would be very
good. Jason Shelley's going to get a lot of playing time. I hope he's ready.
And it would depend on how explosive. It really depends on the wide receivers and how on their game they are, because all of these guys are game breakers in this game, where they can all beat their man. Cold. Mm-hmm. I would say the secondary is probably the weak point of the Wildcat defense. It's not bad by any means, and they're going to be successful in FCS play. But athletically, there's just a huge gap between CLC Mariner and whoever their second cornerback is. And Britton Covey makes everybody look silly. So I think if the receivers are running their routes and they've been paying attention and they're on their games, they're going to be downfield and breaking out huge distances on their receptions. And if that happens, then the game will get away from the Wildcats pretty fast. If it's more of a, we're just going to stick it in Moss's gut every play or 70% of plays and we're just running it right up the middle, you're probably not going to see that kind of score. But I'd really like to see a pass happy Utah offense in this game.
All right, well, there you go. both of our very extremely out-of-the-box picks of the Weber State-Utah game.
30 points or thereabouts. And just a laugher, but you know what? It doesn't matter because it's football.
That's right. Well, until next week when we're talking about a little bit more of an opponent as we scale up to when our real first game is, which is Washington.
Yes. The first game.
Until then, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalk Podcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.